The regular city council meeting of Monday, October 5th, 2015, 7:00 PM.
Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Monday, October 5th, 2015, Oklahoma City Council regular workshop meeting. All this meeting is in order, and I'd like everyone to please rise for a short prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for an opportunity to assemble and to hear the business of this city. As you positioned us to make decisions on behalf of the city, I pray that our ears would be open, that our minds would be open, and that you would give us the wisdom we need to make good decisions that affect today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and the decades to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 0.03 on our agenda, roll call. I see that all of our council members are present. As a council, we'll move to item 1.04, citizen input. Tonight, we have the pleasure of having with us Caitlin Marticelli and her mother. And Caitlin, you have 5 minutes to address the city council. Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin Marticelli. I live on 901 South Steel Road, Othello, Washington. I am a sophomore at Othello High School, and I'm a two-year member of the varsity drill team, and I made competition season last year that goes through March. And I was on honor roll my eighth grade year, my whole freshman year, and I'm on a track still this sophomore year. Last spring, my mom sent my information to the agency Seattle Talent in Seattle, and they called me back, giving me an invite to go audition for them in Pasco. So I went and auditioned, and I got into workshops for acting. And then fast forward to August, I got an email for IMTA, which is International Models and Talent Association, and I scheduled my audition. I went, and it went really good. I got a call back the day or two later saying they would like me to be part of their team to represent them in LA in January to go for competitions. While at the competition, I will be doing different auditions for pilot season, which is a bunch of different TV shows and movie roles, along with for modeling runway in print in magazines. And while at the competition, there will be modeling agents from all over the world going to the very last fashion show to pick who they think will get some, who they will sign, and it's a worldwide thing, and it'll help me get really far to where I want to go.
And as for mother, I thought it would be a good idea to, because this is such a hard thing to actually get your foot in the door, the first phase, let alone be chosen to be one of the few that will represent Seattle Talent on this nation worldwide competition that's coming up in January. She is the only one from this area that was chosen. So it's a very spectacular, nerve-wracking, and exciting adventure ahead for us. We have already had one interview for the paper. It was in last spring when she was actually chosen for Seattle Talent. Little did we know this next step would even be offered to us. What we would like to do, besides talking with y'all tonight, to let you know that, you know, we've got a kid here that has a really good chance to possibly step way up high out of here and have a fantastic career, which is something she's always wanted and dreamed of. Is we would like to be able to also inform the community by having finding some type of opportunity to see if people would like to make like a donation to help pay, because this will be coming all out of mom's pocket. And it's a big ka-ching, ka-ching chunk of change. And I'm looking into ways that, seeing if somebody would be like able to sponsor her, and she can, do community service or something like that. Being Italian, I make the best darn meatballs and sauce that anybody in this place will ever have. And you can ask everybody at my church, because it's true. We were thinking maybe finding a place to hold like a spaghetti dinner for people to come and get to meet Caitlin, find out what she's doing, and have some really good food. And anything, we're open for suggestions for some type of ideas to push us in a way where we can help raise money for her by middle of December. But mainly, I just wanted y'all to meet my daughter. Her stepdad is Chris Fikes at the police department. So you guys probably see me in and out over there yapping or in there. But just to make y'all aware of, we've got a big thing kind of coming up for the family. And we'd love community support. And, of course, we'll keep y'all informed how things go. She's got already done some acting workshops in Pasco right now, and we'll be going to Seattle for a photo shoot, and also doing some runway classes where how to walk the runway in heels and not fall flat on your face or, things like that. So we just wanted to let you guys know what was going on, and like I said, we're open for any kind of suggestions, support, more than appreciate it.
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you, Caitlin. That's a wonderful accomplishment. Of course, we would all be thrilled if you represented us very well, nationally, internationally. There's a number of things you could probably do. I would suggest if you're going to do a spaghetti feed, that you put together some kind of like a PowerPoint presentation or something, mm-hmm. a program, mm-hmm. right? So it isn't just people come and
yes.
eat, but then they want
to be able to see
what it is you're trying to do, kind of gain a new understanding of it. I think that would go a long ways as far as your fundraising in the community. Council, do you guys have any ideas that you might want to give Caitlin tonight?
Hit up all the clubs.
All the clubs?
Yeah, the Rotary, the
Chamber of Commerce,
Chamber of Commerce,
Lions Club,
the Eagles, the Lions. Mm-hmm. The Eagles would, be a place to host a spaghetti feed. They've done that before.
Okay.
That's generated good money for kids that were traveling abroad, that were mm-hmm. going on trips and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we thought we'd put like a little, if we could secure the date and place and the time, run a little ad in the newspaper so, everybody in town can see what's going on. And
talk to Penny over at Columbia Banks. You can get it on the reader board.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ooh, put together a form letter, maybe send it out to some businesses
mm-hmm.
Looking for, sponsorship, mm-hmm. Don't give it a value, but just say whatever. You could give would be mm-hmm. deeply appreciated. So, mm-hmm.
I think as far as going to the businesses, it's better if you go yourself and present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. But as far as when you know, I'm always busy. If I get a letter most of the time, I'll set it aside,
mm-hmm.
or I'll give it to my daughter.
Yeah, I want her to go around
back.
And
so
and
if
do
you
stuff
do, yeah,
face to face.
I think that would be more effective.
So they can
I think
see
more
who effective. She is and
yeah.
and put a face with. Instead of, like you said, just a letter, and you just put off to the side, yes.
Okay.
Those are some great ideas, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. It's very nice to meet you, young lady.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We obviously wish you the best. Yeah.
Right, thank you.
Come back anytime if you want to give us an update.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Or if you have the presentation, once you have the presentation put together, bring it back, and we'd love to see it.
Okay.
Great idea, Gina.
I'll be in touch with Debbie. Thanks, guys, y'all have a good night.
Thank you. So as we move on to our agenda, current business, actually before that, I want to read a letter that came from the mayor of Gunpo, Gyeonggi Province, Republic of Korea. Dear Honorable Mayor Sean Logan, I would like to take this opportunity to express my sincere appreciation for your warm hospitality bestowed upon our delegation during the visit to Othello. During our stay in the county, you and Adams County Commissioners, city and county officials have shown us your warm hospitality with devoted consideration, and our stay was very comfortable. Together with sister city relationship with Grant County, we will hold a solid foundation for strengthening in personal and economic exchanges. Also, thank you so much for providing these opportunities for both cities. I will do my best to achieve mutual prosperity through international exchanges in various fields, such as economic, social affairs, and culture. Best wishes for your continuing success, well-being, and for the prosperity of your city. Very nice. And that was from the mayor of Gunpo when they attended with that delegation and we met at the hospital. Very nice visit, very nice meeting. Obviously, it was put together by our Economic Development Council, Steve McFadden. Mm-hmm. And you were there, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was very nice. They want to look at a particular region to, as they put it, achieve mutual prosperity through international exchanges, various fields as economic, social affairs, and culture. So I thought that was very significant, and that's why I read it tonight, because I have the translation, and I have it in Korean, so, okay.
They are, the Economic Development Council is also, along with Grant County Economic Development Council, are, I believe, working on in the future, and sending a delegation to Gunpo also, too. Made up of different businesses and companies that have things to offer for them for trade.
Thank you, Ken. As we move on, we'll go to item 2.01, public hearing on revenue sources for 2016. This time I'd like to open the public hearing at 7:12 p.m. and we have a staff report from our finance officer, Spencer Williams.
Yeah, thank you very much. As you know, we're well into our budgeting process for the 2016 budget. A big part of that is taking a look at the revenues that we're going to be receiving in throughout the year of 2016 that we can offset against the expenses, our operational costs that we're planning for the new year. When we're building the revenues, there's a lot of work that goes into this side. And this is where we look at the past history, our revenue streams growing, are they getting smaller? What does the future look like? What are the effects of legislation that's happening over in Olympia? Is that gonna improve or decrease some different revenue streams? Anyway, there's a lot of work that goes into building our revenues. We want our revenue streams to be as big as possible, obviously, but it's also important to be as accurate as we can, just so our budget works as it should. There are a couple of different things I was going to point out. With our general fund, we have our taxes is the largest stream of revenue into the general fund. This is made up of property taxes and sales taxes are about $2 million of that $2.3 million figure that you see up there of that $2.3 million there. Then we have some other things, licenses and permits, building permits, intergovernmental. This is when we receive grant money or when we contract with the school district for their use of our school resource officer. Those are some of these intergovernmental revenues here. If you go down below, we have $1.6 million as transfers in. The largest piece of this is from something called the General Fund Cost Allocation Program. The mayor, council, Wade, myself, Debbie, we're employees of the general fund you can say. And we do work for all the funds across the board, the street, water, sewer, solid waste. And so we have a plan in place that takes our cost and prorates it across these other funds, or a portion of our cost, and prorates it across the street, water, sewer, solid waste funds. So they are, so the street fund essentially rents a few hours of waste time on a given day and so on for the other funds. And so that's the majority of this $1.6 million transfer in. We have the street fund. The biggest revenue here in the street fund for this year is the intergovernmental. This is the one, almost $1.9 million. This is mostly made up of our the 14th Avenue TIB grant money. That product is about $2.4 million with a 20% match. And so when we spend those dollars, we get reimbursed as we're realizing the expenses. We get reimbursed for 80% of the expenses up to that amount. And we've already been working on engineering for the last, actually we started in 2014 doing some engineering work, and we've seen some here in 15. And then we're planning on finishing that grant out next year in 2016. So we'll draw the remainder of that grant in next year. And that grant, I believe, it expires in 2017. I want to say April or May. It's 2017, though, for sure. But our plan here is to complete that project here in 2016. We have our water, sewer, solid waste funds. These three funds are, they're called enterprise funds. These funds are ones that need to operate. They're part of the city, but they need to operate like they're their own business, like they're a separate entity from the city's normal funds. So the water fund, its operations are covered from its charges for services, the water utility rates. Same with the sewer and the solid waste. We charge just what that utility needs to operate. And we want to have that as close as possible. When we receive more dollars in the water fund than it takes to operate, we put those extra dollars in the water reserve fund. But they're locked up for the water purpose of the city. And so with the sewer dollars, the sewer dollars can only be used for the sewer utility of the city, and same with the solid waste. We have some special revenue funds down here at the end. We have our tourism dollars. We usually receive about $40,000 a year in tourism dollars, and those are the dollars that we spend on those organizations that bring tourism to the city of Othello. Our REIT dollars, we also usually make about $40,000. REIT dollars can only be used for capital expenses. There's an RCW that governs the use of REIT dollars, and it stipulates me, or it gives maybe 12 or 14 different types of things that those dollars can be spent on. Their streets, sidewalks, street lighting systems, things for the parks, new city buildings. They're really capital infrastructure type expenses are what we can spend the REIT dollars on. This year we're spending $50,000 of our REIT money for the new bathroom in Lions Park. So that's one of those capital type things that the REIT dollars can be spent on. And then we have our utility tax fund. This is the fund that we collect the taxes for, not these utilities, water, sewer, solid waste, but the natural gas, the electric, the cable, those things. And a portion of those revenues are automatically funded over to the general fund. Like we've been talking about this fund quite a bit recently. In a lot of different cities, the utility tax funds, these dollars are just receded directly into the general fund. We separate them out here so we can see what we're doing with them a little bit easier. And with our utility tax dollars, we're anticipating that those are going to be a little bit less than they have been in years past. This year, we're anticipating coming in about $200,000 under what we budgeted for, as I think we've mentioned that in previous meetings. So anyway, the important thing there is to be aware of what revenues we will actually realize so we can fund our projects based on real dollars. But like I said before, these revenue estimates are only estimates. We work with a bunch of different organizations to try to get these revenue estimates as close as we can. Municipal Research Services Center, MRSC, puts out a book every year, which is a great book, and they go through a bunch of different tax revenues, and they take the legal side over in Olympia and see what that translates down at our level, what the yays and nays over in Olympia, how those turn into dollars for us. But this is basically it. This is what we're looking at for the new year. And if there are any questions, I can field some of those.
So these are the figures you're going to use after we've had our final budget meetings over the next couple of days?
Yeah, these are the figures that I'm using right now. Mm-hmm. As I'm during our budget committee meetings. Yeah, we're just looking at the expense side. What does it take to operate? And in the background, I'm also working on all the revenue sides, so we can have something that offsets those operations.
So are these actual revenues generated or projected?
These are projected.
Okay, for the year of 2016.
Yes. Yeah.
And those beginning fund balances are probably going to be ending year fund balances
from 2015.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yep. That gives us a target where we want to finish.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we have, so our general fund has a 500,000 minimum fund balance. Our street fund has a 150,000. I didn't bring those with me.
That's okay. That's all right.
Anyway,
yeah.
But you can go through. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what we're doing here at the city, we're only using the money that we have. We don't have the freedom to print our own money like the federal government does. So we have to stay on budget.
Thank you, Spencer. We'll have more opportunities to review, discuss, and in the days and weeks ahead. So thank you very much for this presentation. Moving on to item 2.02. Last year we had a terrific update from Corinne Field, and she is back with us again tonight to... Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Corinne. Being corrected. I'm ready. I'm trying to move this meeting along. Is there any questions from the council at this time on the public hearing? Okay, at this time, I'd like to close the public hearing at 7:22 p.m. Thank you. Now, we'll move into tonight's portion of a library update from Corinne Field.
My name is Corinne Field. I'm the manager of the Othello Library, the Othello branch of the Mid-Columbia Libraries. And we're one of 13 branches. We're the farthest north, based out of Kennewick. And I think basically I want to show you that there are some really, really good people in Othello. The library staff have worked really hard this year. I mean, super, super hard. But there's so many other people who have done wonderful things to help children. Mainly it's children. Now we have computers at the library that people come and use, and Wi-Fi there, and we've got books and DVDs and those kind of things, and programs where shut-ins can get books taken to their houses. But I work a lot with very young children, so you can tell that from these pictures. So thank you for letting me come. It's just wonderful. I'm going to start with last summer. The summer reading challenge went from June to the end of August, and we had about 500 people participate in that. And we're mainly trying to get the young people to continue reading during the summertime so they don't go down during the summer, but at least stay at the same level as they were reading in school at the end of May. This is a little bit like the the main title was Every Hero Has a Story, which I showed this at the schools. Cada héroe tiene una historia. That was fun to do. Now, we started out with the bulletin board on the back and the children's department looking like this, and this was, I don't know, about halfway through. So we had a lot of children put their names up there saying, I'm working on my reading. And here are some heroes. And some volunteers who helped out. During July, our average attendance at the programs was 71. In August, it went down a little bit to about 55. So we had 12 programs and really good attendance. A lot of kids were there. This was the Linus Project, where the children would color in squares, and then some of the adult volunteers, I mean, there were a lot of parents there helping out, but then they sewed them together to give away to, we made two quilts, and there's the kids coloring out of books, made two quilts to give away to needy children. And this was one of our, what do you call it, where you go through a running back and forth. And some of these kids went through this obstacle course. There you go, the obstacle course, 60 times. And it was hot, and Mrs. Wilson had set up a mister, and there was popsicles and stuff. The kids really enjoyed it. And then here was Officer Anderson, who came and talked with the children and then showed his car, and all the kids were really excited. We had six major businesses who contributed to those children who did the activities. They had to read many hours and do some activities, 10 activities, and they donated. They were so generous. And one of the business owners was saying, absolutely, absolutely, I want to keep the kids reading. What can I do? And it was just wonderful to see their generosity. And the friends of the Othello Library give the most. They paid for the pool party, and which was fun. That was August 8th. And they paid for three baskets. This was actually the year before, but this year's didn't come out very well in the picture. But they bought those three baskets. We pulled names out of a hat right there at the program. And each basket was like $150 worth of nice stuff. So the friends of the Othello Library are just wonderful. Okay, and then this is just different activities we had throughout the year. Now this one, I think that was January. It might have been December. Here's the choir from the high school. Okay, this one, I thought this was the most interesting program in that I forgot how much culture shock some of our new immigrants are going through. And where you can see this little boy right here. It was kind of a fun activity where they put sprinkles inside of some contact paper, two sides of contact paper, and stapled it onto the plate and all that. And those mothers who came in, and they were, I think, straight from Mexico, but they were really good cutting things out and making little noses and hats and things like that. But it was clear to me that they weren't experienced with contact paper and or sprinkles the glitter, and they were going like, oh, this is really cool. I mean, not in those words, but wow, they got it really fast. But it was when one of the mothers was stapling it, and I said, no, espérame, yo quiero, yo, is what I said. Because I almost took it out of her hand, because she was about to staple herself. And so I showed her how, oh, so to remind me
first, she'd never used a stapler before, and to remind me that lots of people that are coming in to the library every day are suffering tremendous culture shock to make all these adjustments to a way of life that's different to them, and also the job to help them feel welcome. I do a lot of work with CBHA. They have programs at different schools, and so with Columbia Basin Health, I just love those employees. They're wonderful. That's a go away big green monster. And I go to 5 different preschools. So these are just a bunch of pictures of little children. These are activities that I took in. Now this picture here, anytime I get too busy with work or something, I want to look at this picture because that little girl just makes me think. Some of our children want to do so well. I mean, they're earnest and want to work hard and they want to do really well and please their parents and please their teachers and really want to work hard. This was a block party, which we took a bunch of blocks to and had fun. This was children from the Inspire Center. We're playing with the parachute and the ball. We have a lot of parents come in with their children. So a lot of my job is to support teachers and to support parents. And sometimes we have teenagers come and do activities with us, too. They have adult programs once in a while. So thank you very much for letting me come here, and thanks again for all of these wonderful teachers and preschool teachers and CBHA workers, and I mean, there are so many really wonderful people working to help make the lives of the children and their parents a better place. So thank you.
Corinne, that is a great work that you're doing, you and the volunteers and the friends of the library, and you should be commended and honored. Mm-hmm. Council? Okay. Moving on to item 2.03, sewer rate discussion. Spencer has wants to introduce the topic of our sewer rates, and so he's going to give us some data. So go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to sit down for this so I can kind of work through the computer here. I mean, I just want to talk through a couple of different things. We have a 3-year sewer rate ordinance that expires at the end of this year, so we'll need to pass a new ordinance by the end of the year that'll set the new rates for the next 3-year term. When we're looking at the rates, there are a bunch of different things that we've got to look at. We've got to look at the future needs of the system and any other the future needs of the system, I guess, and the city. We've been talking with the Department of Ecology and our city engineers and talking with different committees, and we've ultimately come up to an increase of 10%, which is, or continuing the annual 10% increase that we've been doing for the last number of years. Up here we have the last couple of ordinances, 13, 14, for 10, 11, and 12, we have ordinance 1376 is the one we're currently operating on. and then, and those are 10% increases across the board. And then this builds us, or brings us up to our new ordinance that would cover 2016, 17, and 18. And these numbers here are what those rates would look like for a separate family residence at 10%. And then you can see what this is, the increase from the previous $3.50 up to $4 in the last year. But there are a couple of different things we got to look at. The biggest concern that we have in the sewer fund is the need for a new sewer treatment plant. The Department of Ecology has come and they've permitted our, or renewed our permits for our current facility, but we know that that facility is only going to be good for so much longer. And so what we're doing with our, the extra revenue that we receive in this fund is we're just putting it over into the sewer reserve fund. This year we're planning on putting about $900,000 into our reserves for that new sewer treatment plant. The numbers that have been thrown at us from our engineers is, as far as cost for that new plant, is anywhere in between $25 and $30 million. So we want to be able to cover as much of that with the grant, obviously. If we can get free money, that's what we're going to go for. But then we don't want to be put in a place where we have to take on a huge loan and we have to hike rates way, way up to be able to cover this loan for this new facility. So what we've been doing is just slow incremental rate increases. I put together a couple different things here. Here you can see our sewer reserves. This year we're planning on having, ending the year with just over $6 million in our sewer reserve fund. And if we did a 10% increase, this is about what we would see for the next 3 years, $7 million, $8 million, $9.3 million. And these are dollars that we can put against this $25 to $30 million plant that would significantly reduce the hit on the citizens. It's always kind of a tricky discussion here. We want this increase here to be as low as possible because who wants to raise rates? Nobody does. Nobody wants to pay higher rates. But we need to balance that with what's coming down the pike. I put together an amortization schedule that can kind of help us walk through this. In this schedule here, we have $25 million loan at 2%, which right now are the Public Works Trust Fund and the other low-interest government loans that are out there are about 2%. And I put it out at 30 years, and I had to have a date in here. This isn't a loan that we're taking on starting January next year. This is just a random date. All I wanted that to show is what this number here is. Our total annual payment would be about $1.1 million. And this is something that we can play around with. So that $20 million, or $25 million, if we have a plant that is going to be $30 million, let's say, and we're able to save up 10 of that, if we put, well, let's just look, if we take a loan for the entire amount, our annual payments are going to be about $1.3 million. If we're able to put money towards it and get some grant money, so all we need is a $20 million loan, our annual payments are about $900,000. Right now in our fund, I'll just bring this over, everything extra that we have in our fund, we automatically put it in the sewer reserve fund. This year we're putting about $900,000. The current operations are about $400,000. It's about that, just so we can stay operating. So that plus our $900,000 brings us to about $1.2 million. So this is just something that we can play around with a little bit, see if we have a $1.1 million annual bond payment, where do we need to be to be able to make the payments on that system and then still make the payments on our current system. And we've been playing around with a bunch of different figures up and down, and it seems like 10% is about where that's at. I just had one other thing that I wanted to bring up before I turn it over to you for questions or other discussion, if you have some input you want to make. I have a couple of comps. These are the 2015 rates for a residential area. You can see Quincy, Freda, Moses Lake, they're all about 36, 37, 33, close to where we're at with $34 a month. The Warden, Ritzville, Royal, they're all in between, 45, 58, 51. Then we have a couple of last ones here. These are ones that I got from our engineer, Rock Island and Cooley Dam. These, I believe, are both areas that just put in a new treatment facility. And so this is where their rates are to be able to fund that new facility. What our hope is, if we can have small incremental increases like this, we can offset the ultimate cost of this new facility so much that we don't have $60-$70 rates every month. But ultimately tonight, we don't have an ordinance prepared for your review. This is a conversation that we've been having, like I said, in some of our committee meetings, and this is kind of where we're ending up. If there's any other feedback or other considerations that you want to bring before the council, this is just an open discussion time where we can talk about these rates.
The other thing we discussed at the meeting about that also was that did not include staffing for that plant. That's right. Just the plant.
Yeah.
So we have to figure that in.
Well, staffing, electricity,
yep.
All of those things.
Yeah, the basic operational costs.
That's just to build it and look at it. That ain't to run it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of the other things we discussed during the meeting also is that one of the reasons that we've been doing regular ratings raises is that when you go out for grants, you want to be in the upper to middle upper portion of, you know, when they rate them all of the towns in Washington. You want to be in kind of that upper middle portion to show that you've done your due diligence to maintain your system and to do what you need to be doing. And if we're in that, well, I think right now we're still in kind of that lower to middle, and we're trying to move up that, and it's kind of hard when you do raise the rates, but everybody else is raising their rates to move up that. But if you're in that upper to middle portion, it puts you in a better position to get the free money, the grants. It's taken into consideration.
I kind of feel that could be a lot of money for some people. Yes, I know we need to save money up, but that's $11 over the next 3 years, and I mean, I can afford it, but I know there's people out there that probably can't, and there's probably quite a few in this town that might not be able to afford that. But yes, if it's got to go up like Warden's did up to $51, you know, that is a big jump. But how far out are we on our permit right now? How many years do we have left on that?
Well, the permit just came up for
another 5 years.
It just came. We just paid on it, didn't we? And it's going. They're going to be revisiting it.
Well, the Department of Ecology issues 5-year permits. So if they just issued a permit, it would be a 5-year permit.
I thought our permit was issued about 2012.
Yeah,
it's going to be coming up in
2017. About.
So I think we just paid for the new permit with the new go round for the permit. I can't even think. So you know, we probably won't see anything from them for a couple years, but it's coming up. It's going to be up here pretty quick.
Well, is there an annual permit fee?
Yes.
Okay, that doesn't have anything to do with the cycle time of the permit itself.
Yes, I know.
But this doesn't talk to anything with regard to the infrastructure as well. We've got 50-year-old sewer lines out there, you know, that could need repairs and stuff like that. It is, it's a difficult decision to make to ask the people that already, you know, live in the city to foot the bill for future, you know, growth. But does your model take into consideration the additional income generated from new development? How many homes are you adding per year?
If growth stays steady, then that's what's considered in here.
Okay, so we have a growth.
Yeah, that's
not a population factor in your.
Yeah.
I think there's two components. There's not only the financial model, there's also the engineering data that we're going to need from our engineer, because, you know, John's correct. We have asbestos sewer lines that are, or concrete sewer lines that the cities eventually need to replace those, and we don't currently in our budget have a planned replacement. Bless you. We don't have currently have a planned replacement program for any of those. It's more of a, as the crisis occurs, then we get involved. And the other thing is that even if we today had an answer, it still would be several years before you could actually go to project implementation, funding, construction. And so there are a lot of components to this. I guess at some point you have to just summarize and identify, because Mark is right, there are some people that are going to struggle with paying higher sewer rates. But sort of the bottom line with me, if you'll go back to those rates, Spencer, today we're at $34.18 a month for a sewer for a residence, and in 3 years we're going to add about $11 to that figure. If we over the course of the next 3 years identify, we get further into what is it actually going to cost us, how much are we going to include, is that for a town of 20,000, do we have the capacity to handle a 20,000 with this new update? Because if we don't, we're probably thinking too small with the construction of the new facility. So I would rather today tell people that we would rather give you small incremental increases than come back. And what would be curious to note is, what was Rock Island and Grand Coulee Dam paying the year or two before they built this facility? Because now they're up to $60 and $67 a month, and if you can't afford $45, $49, how are you going to afford $67? So as a group, we're going to be studying this. We're going to be looking at all the different aspects that are important with regard to this, not only the engineering, the capacity, but also the financial models. In addition to that, coming up this month, we're going to meet with the IACC, which is a funding arm, and this is where you get an opportunity to meet with the state agencies, you discuss what you're looking at, and then they can provide guidance, they can provide help with regard to the grant funding and other things that we're looking at doing and would like to obtain. So I think, you know, to summarize all that, I guess I would just say that I'm more inclined to go forward with a 10% increase and arrive at some point in the future where we do build our new facility, and then we don't have to increase 40% or 30% like many communities around the state of Washington have had to do. So there's horror stories. I'm part of the sewer funding coalition, a statewide coalition that there are communities like Shelton, Washington that are paying over $105 a month for their sewer bill. So all that is to say, when, these are some of the problems that we face as a small community, but I think that this is one of the ways we're going to have to begin to address it. Everybody's going to have to pay. Because, as Spencer aptly pointed out, each little segment of our revenue is a business, and sewer is going to have to pay for sewer because there's no other place to get the money to pay for it. So, with the Department of Ecology standards becoming more and more stringent, that means the cost of these facilities are becoming higher and higher to meet those current standards. So, again, we either need to move forward at some point and take the recommendation of our finance officer, or there's also other factors that we need to consider as well, and I think we'll get some of those from our engineering firm.
Well, the question, there will be another question too in regard to what type of treatment system are you going to build? Are you going to build a biological treatment system just for residential use, or are you going to do it for industrial use as well? If you do it for industrial use, you increase your capability of drawing industrial users to the
right, and they might also help us with the construction of, with funds to help with the construction of, potentially. I mean, anyway, there's a lot of avenues, and that's a very good point. And so I would just say we're at the beginning stage. Spencer, Wade?
Well, right now, at this point in time, you don't even have in the code anything wrote for industrial users because they're not, they're banned from using it. They can't discharge to your system. But the revenue that you could generate from a discharge of that magnitude would be, you know, considerable.
I think that's something we're going to have to look at with our engineers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other possibility, you know, I think it would be great to be able to allow our industrial and to be able to draw industry in that could discharge to the treatment plant. But that may increase that $25 to $30 million estimate too, because more treatment is going to cost more.
Right. Well, the rule of thumb is it's usually around $1 million for a million gallons. So if you're going to go to $25 million for a treatment facility, you're looking at about $25 million gallon a day pass through. You're a long way away from that.
Yeah, we are.
You know,
so yeah.
I think it's okay. I mean, a 10% increase. I mean, we're behind everybody else. We're at 37 and Moses Lake's at 36. I mean, we're behind the pack. And we do need to think of our future. Mm-hmm. You know, that's pretty much where we're going.
If you're a retired person and all you're getting is Social Security, and that, I mean, in 5 years from 2010 to 2015, we raised it $12.50. And here we are raising it $11 in 3 years, you know. And I would think if you're applying for a grant that you get extra points for a low income, for having so many people low income, I would think you'd get extra points for that. And if we're still raising the rates, but maybe not quite as much, maybe $3 a year or something, I mean, it's still going to be $9, but I don't know, just a thought.
It is, that's a good thought.
I think it just needs more discussion, which we can probably bring up next Monday at our council meeting as well. How do you want to proceed? Do you want to proceed with addressing staff to have them perhaps Spencer prepare the ordinance, and then we'll have a public hearing and discuss it? Or do we want to hold off on going that quickly and continue the discussion as we go along, further develop it?
There's no relief for senior citizens. I know there's tax breaks for senior citizens from the county. Is there no tax break for the, or I mean, so the bills?
Not even within the city?
We're not aware of any.
So how about like the schools, don't, do they pay the same as a house?
There's a, they probably pay on a...
There's a schedule of rates, and so they pay, they have a monthly fee plus an amount per student every month.
So are their rates going up too, I know?
Yeah, so this would be a 10% across all the categories.
So all these cities here, they're using that 10% over the board?
No, this is just my number.
That's your number.
That 10%. I'm just trying to get it so we can look at other communities and see what they're doing compared to us.
Do you know what they are doing? I know it's kind of hard.
No, no.
So you don't know what Quincy's paid, you know, versus 2010 versus what they're paying today?
No.
It was double, almost.
Yeah.
You know, but like Rock Island, I know somebody that worked on that, put in the sewer lines, got them off septic, and then, you know, that wasn't a big full-blown treatment plant, I'm sure. It was just to get them off septic, put in the sewer lines, and get them, you know, putting it into a lagoon system like what we've got. And that bumped them up to $67 per unit.
And I agree with the mayor. I think I would rather see incremental, small changes across the board as we go, as compared to dumping 30-40% increase on them when we build it.
Yeah, I mean, it also would reduce the amount of the payment if, you know, borrowing the money. I just don't anticipate somebody's going to walk in here and hand us all the money we need to go build this facility. So,
Well, and as to what I said earlier, one of the things, if you look at that list, we're like, what, the second lowest compared to Moses Lake. And Moses Lake, I think there's something with their utilities, and so they were able to keep their rates a lot lower. But, you know, we're the lowest basically on that list except for Moses Lake. And if you compare us to across the state, we're quite, you know, like I said, we're in the lower portion of that list. We've got to get our rates up, or we're not showing that we're doing our due diligence when we go out for those grants, and that counts against us.
And Moses Lake is about three times our size, and so there'd be, I would assume, some economies of scale.
No, I was just going to say, this is a problem we face. As a small community, we don't have the people to spread the
We're talking about taking out a loan. We're not talking about getting grants. I mean, they didn't offer up Shelton any grants, did they?
Well, they were forced in. No, they didn't. But see, they were forced into taking action before they could even apply or do anything.
Right, and that day's coming for Othello.
Yeah, that's why I want to.
There's
going to
be an action force by the Department of Ecology that says, you cannot keep dumping into the Crab Creek.
You're going to be forced to build this facility, and you're going to have to pass on the cost to your residents. The problem we have continually facing a small community is we don't have the numbers to spread out the increases. So, for instance, Moses Lake, three times our size, is paying $33.15. Well, if they had a 10% rate, they would go to 36, but they would raise three times the amount of money that Othello does. So if Seattle has to raise its rates, they raise it 10 cents and they cover all their stuff.
Right.
So our small community doesn't have the amount of people to spread this cost out.
Okay, so when we get to 2018 at the 9,200,000+ dollars, okay, in the fund, that's the reserve fund. So that's our one third of what you're figuring it might cost, okay?
That's an estimate.
Mm-hmm. So basically we're generating, or we're charging everybody $45 a month.
Yes.
Is that amount going to be enough to compensate for the loan amount? Or are you at that time gonna then step up and say, oh, okay, we need $5 more because we have all these operational costs now, and we're going to take everybody to $50 because we got a loan payment to make.
Right, so that's the thing.
Let's go back to your $20 million payment schedule.
So that's the very thing that we're trying to prevent by growing this money, this 9 million right here, this 9.3 million, by growing it right now. would you set that against this?
Go to 20 million.
We still, so we're going to pay off.
It would be 892, so we would, the difference was 1197, so 1.2 million versus 900,000. So you'd have 300,000 above the cost and the cost of borrowing $20 million. This is everything being equal. So that would be used to fund the additional cost to run the facility and whatever. Problem is, we don't know whether that'll be adequate.
And that won't give us anything to build for down the future either. That cuts us straight. Not right now, we're running about 900,000 over. If we've got to borrow $20 million at a $892,000 payment, that means it's $8,000 a year. Putting nothing away for the future.
If we don't raise the rates today.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would be if we raise the rates 10% now.
Well, I meant in 3 years.
Right.
Go into 3 years, the surplus, go back to that, is almost 1.2 million. See, 1.97. That's what it would be in 2018.
Then if it was going to be tough for us to make the payment and we did a 23% raise, if $3-4, you know, is going to raise, you know, some problems, can you imagine a 20-30%? They say, hey, where are you going to go?
Yeah, now all of a sudden it's a $10, $10 incremental increase because we didn't.
$15 increase.
Because we didn't do it now.
Because we didn't do it now. Wow. And it would be a higher debt to pay that. So, yeah, these are the problems we face. I think, you know, this discussion is good because I think we're all getting a handle of what we're facing. So now we just need more information.
Well, and we've been talking about the plant and the maintenance costs and all of that that we're talking, but the sewer fund also has to pay for the infrastructure. And we've got infrastructure that needs to be replaced. So we've got to have monies not only for the plant and the maintenance and all that, we have to have monies to replace manholes and, mm-hmm. yeah. So.
Right.
But I mean, we can take a look at this a couple of different ways, mm-hmm. Spence. And I do agree with Mark. If you set an incremental increase per year, rather than doing a percentage, you know, and we went to the public and we told them we're going to increase it at $3.50 a year, okay, and get to the point with an incremental increase rather than saying percentages.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's...
That's what we did in 2010, 11, and 12. We just did $2.
But I think part of the problem that we were running into when we were doing $2 like that is that, yeah, we were increasing it $2 every year, but if you looked at the overall picture and where our rates were statewide, we were moving down the list because everybody else is increasing by more.
But that's not our fault. We weren't forced to do anything like the other people in other communities were. Right now, we have a system that's adequate.
No, but that's one of those things that we're looking
for.
We're looking
for. You're not going to get grant money for this, are you?
You may be able to get trust fund money, which is low interest loans, and they still look at this kind of thing.
Is that trust fund still active? I thought it was dead.
It's still there.
It's still there, but it's year by year by the legislation. Mm-hmm.
Ken, do you have any comment?
You know, the comment that was made, we just went up $2 in 2010, but that was still a 10% raise back then because our rates were only $2, I mean $21. So 10%. We've had this discussion many times with many different council members here. And the direction that we are at right now is the right direction because I say it's the future of the city. The rates ain't that bad.
I disagree with you, but I go along with what Mark says. You know, I've got constituents in my neighborhood. I got an 80-some-year-old widow lady that, you know, what impact is she making on her contribution to the sewer system? You know, little or none, but yet she's still footing the bill, and she's on a fixed income. She's on Social Security, you know. And retirement pension.
I mean, we're talking $4 or $5 a year.
month.
Well, for her...
A month, yeah, a month.
For her, that might be...
$50 a year, it's, come on.
Well, and, you know, I don't like rate increases any more than anybody else. I mean, I don't, if I could, I would leave it the same, and hopefully, you know, we could do everything that we wanted to with the monies we had.
Well...
But that's not gonna happen.
We all wanna leave it the same, because nobody wants to raise your...
Yeah, nobody wants to raise it.
But we have to think of what's coming down the pipe.
But the thing is if we're not raising the rates, then we're basically on hold, and our infrastructure continues to crumble. And then, nobody wants to live here, because there's nothing that's good. So, I hate to say that, you know, but everybody has to carry their fair weight, you know?
We could pay, actually, we're paying a little bit on a long stretch. And it's better than paying it all at one time down the road.
It's gonna come one way or the other. Yeah, this is the Fram oil filter guy. Pay me now, or you're gonna pay me later?
I'd rather pay it slow.
I'd rather pay the slow death than the cliff death. And that's just my opinion, but council, you need to give Spencer direction. So what does the council wanna do?
I would just assume to have the ordinance next week and be prepared to vote on it.
Okay. Anybody else? You do too? We can still, I mean, it isn't decided yet, but we can still talk. We can continue this. All right?
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right, Spencer?
Okay. I'll bring that ordinance. I'll prepare it with 10% increase and bring that for more discussion next week.
Very good. That was a good discussion, council. is there any committee reports tonight? All right, hearing none. I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:06 p.m.